الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Indeed, our praise is due to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We praise Him as He deserves to be praised. And we ask for His aid and His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala from the evil of our own souls and from the evil of our wicked actions. Whomsoever Allah Azza wa Jal guides, then none can misguide. And whomsoever Allah Azza wa Jal misguides, then none can guide. I testify that none has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala alone without any partners. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger to proceed. Alhamdulillah, as you're all aware, the book that is going to be covered during this seminar is Riyadh al-Saliheen. And each of the brothers, jazahumullahu khayran, has a particular chapter that they will read from. My chapter is Bab al-Tawbah, and it's the second chapter in Riyadh al-Saliheen, this monumental work of Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Bab al-Tawbah, the chapter of repentance. And brothers and sisters, as some of the scholars have mentioned, that al-attibba li hadha al-marad hum al-ulama, the doctors as it pertains to this sickness are the scholars. لأنه مرض القلوب ومرض القلوب أكثر من مرض الأبدان. Because this is a sickness of the hearts, and the sicknesses of the hearts are more than the sicknesses of the body. And Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this in Riyadh al-Saliheen as chapter number 2, showing the importance of this topic, at-tawbah, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he started by saying, قال العلماء التوبة واجبة من كل ذنب فإن كانت المعصية بين العبد وبين الله تعالى لا تتعلق بحق آدمي فلها ثلاثة شروط. The scholars have stated that it is obligatory to repent from every sin. The scholars of Islam have stated that it is obligatory to repent from every sin. And if the disobedience is between the servant and Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and does not involve the rights of another human being, then repentance has three conditions. So I'll repeat that, and these are the words of An-Nawawi. And after we've read the words of An-Nawawi, inshallah, we'll read the words of Shaykh al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. An-Nawawi, he said, قال العلماء, the scholars have stated, التوبة واجبة من كل ذنب. Repentance is obligatory. It is obligatory to repent from every sin. فإن كانت المعصية بين العبد وبين الله تعالى لا تتعلق بحق آدمي فلها ثلاثة شروط. And if the disobedience is between the servant and Allah and does not involve the right of another human being, then repentance has three conditions. Repentance has three conditions. أحدها, the first, أن يقلع عن المعصية, to abandon this act of disobedience. The first, أن يقلع عن المعصية, to abandon and renounce that act of disobedience. والثاني, the second, أن يندم على فعلها, to regret committing this act of disobedience. To regret actually committing this act of disobedience. And the third, والثالث, أن يعزم أن لا يعود إليها أبدا. The individual is determined and resolute never to return back to it. And that's important, كما سيأتي في كلام الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله. Because if an individual pretends to repent, and in reality, in his heart, قلبه يحدث أن يعود إلى تلك المعصية,
His heart is whispering and telling him that he's going to return back to that act of disobedience. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said that in reality, this is a type of istihza, mockery. How can you pretend to repent from something and in your heart, in reality, you want to return back to it? هذا لعب وتلاعب. نعم. So pay attention, brothers and sisters, to these three conditions. And the Shaykh, he will mention a few more, inshallah, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, because they're very important. Al-Imam al-Nawi said, فَإِن فَقَدَ أَحَدَ الثَّلَاثَ لَمْ تَصِحَ تَوْبَتُهُ. If the individual does not fulfill any of these three, his repentance is not correct. It's not accepted. إِذَا فَقَدَ أَحَدَ الثَّلَاثَةِ لَمْ تَصِحَ تَوْبَتُهُ. If any of these three are missing, then the repentance of the individual is not correct. It's not going to be accepted. Then he continued, he said, وَإِن كَانَتِ الْمَعَصِيَةَ تَتَعَلَّقُ بِآدَمِي فَشُرُوطُهَا أَرْبَعًا. If the disobedience involves the right of another human, then the conditions of repentance are now four. وَإِن كَانَتِ الْمَعَصِيَةُ تَتَعَلَّقُ بِآدَمِيٍ فَشُرُوطُهَا أَرْبَعًا. If the disobedience involves the right of another human, then the conditions of repentance are four. هذه الثلاثة, the previous three, وأن يبرأ من حق صاحبها. And the fourth is that the person, he absolves oneself of the right of that person. He clears himself of the right of that individual. And again, inshallah, the explanation and the tafasil for this speech سيأتي بإذن الله. فإن كانت مالا أو نحوه رده إليه. If the right involves wealth, money, or something similar, it is returned to the rightful owner. It's a must. If it involves money, wealth, and somebody has stolen it, and he says, I want to repent, it is a must that he returns that wealth back to the rightful owner. He said, وَإِن كَانَتْ حَدَّ قَذْفٍ وَنَحْوَهُ مَكَّنَهُ مِنْهُ أَلْطَلَبَ عَفْوَهُ. And if it involves a prescribed punishment, like the prescribed punishment for accusing somebody of a zina, fornication, without fulfilling the requirements or the like of it, a person, he hands himself over to face the punishment, or he seeks pardon from the individual he is accused. That's why, brothers and sisters, a person has to be very careful with his tongue. If you accuse somebody of zina, هذا ليس بهين. That is not something that is light. Look now at the conditions of a tawbah for that. Qadf. Accusing people of zina. We find that the Sharia lays down conditions. If these conditions are not fulfilled, the individual has to make tawbah. From the conditions of tawbah is what? The three that we heard, and likewise that you fulfill the right to the one who has been wronged. What is the right here? You hand yourself over. If you're in a Muslim country, you hand yourself over to receive that punishment. Or you seek pardon from the individual that has been accused. وَإِن كَانَتْ غِيبًا إِسْتَحَلَّهُ مِنْهَا. And inshallah, again, the tafsil for this, the explanation of this will come later on. If somebody has backbitten somebody else, he asks the individual for pardon. But again, كما سيذكر الشيخ ابن عثيمين وهذا موقف ابن القيم وغيره من أهل العلم, that this tafsil. If the individual knows, نعم, that you have backbitten him, then you go to him and you apologize and you ask him to pardon you. But if the person does not know, then you don't go and tell him. If he does not know that you have backbitten him, you don't go and tell him. Why? Because Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions that the Sharia, it came for what? Taqleel al-mafasid. To limit the harm, not to increase it. If you backbitten someone, they don't know about it, and then you go to them and you say, Akhi, you know I was speaking ill of you, and astaghfirullah. That individual, قَدْ يَقَعَ فِي قَلْبِهِ شَيْ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنْهِ. Maybe something would enter his heart, it may never leave it. So the reality, inshallah, and the Shaykh will explain that in more detail. Now, if the individual knows about it, you go to him, you apologize. Pardon me, akhi. However, if he doesn't know, then inshallah, the Shaykh will explain later on. كَمَا سَيَأْتِي. ويجب أن يتوب من جميع الذنوب. It is obligatory to repent from all sins. فإن تاب من بعضها صحت توبته عند أهل الحق من ذلك الذنب. It is obligatory to repent from all sins. If he repents from some sins, then his repentance is correct according to the people of the truth for that particular sin. وَبَقِيَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَاقِي. However, the others remain upon him. If he doesn't repent from the other sins remain upon him. وَقَدْ تَظَاهَرَتْ دَلَائِلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَإِجْمَاعِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى وَجُوبِ التَّوْبَةِ. There are numerous proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah, as well as the consensus of this nation, that it is an obligation to repent. There are numerous proofs, many, from the Quran and from the Sunnah, and likewise, according to the consensus of this nation, that it is obligatory to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala Allahu ta'ala. And again, alhamdulillah, this highlights the understanding of Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. And that is why this book, alhamdulillah, is a beautiful book. Because Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, you find, he mentions ayat, then he goes on to mention ahadith, and ishtarata ala nafsihi, he made it a condition when compiling this book that he only included in this book to the best of his ability. Now, there are very few ahadith that are weak, but they are the minority. However, he made it a condition upon himself when compiling this book to only include in this book ahadith that are accepted, meaning either hasan or sahih, either authentic or sound. And that's why, alhamdulillah, every library should have this book. It's an excellent book to read with friends, to read with family, to read in the masajid. If you go to many Muslim countries, after the salawat, the imam, he sits there, and alhamdulillah, he reads this book. Just reads the ayat, reads the ahadith, because it contains much benefit. Then An-Nawawi, he said, قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High, he said, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And repent to Allah, all of you. Repent to Allah, all of you, O believers, so that you may be successful. Likewise, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, Allah the Most High, he said, وَنِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. And seek the forgiveness of your Lord and repent to him. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Most High, he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. O you who believe, repent to Allah with a sincere repentance. And notice, ikhwan, in these three ayat, when An-Nawawi rahimahullah, when he mentioned, وَقَدْ تَظَاهَرَتْ دَلَائِلَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَإِجْمَاعُ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى وَجُوبِ التَّوْبَةِ, that there are many proofs from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, as well as the consensus of this nation, that it is an obligation to repent. But notice how he mentioned, rahimahullah, the three verses that contain a verb of command. Why? Because the way that we understand something, that something is an obligation, is when there is a command. If Allah commands us with something, al-asl fihi al-wujub, the origin, the base rule is that this thing is an obligation. Illa an yati sarif, unless you have another proof to take it away from that. And look, in these three verses, and know we, there are many verses that talk about tawbah in the Quran, many. But he chose three verses that each verse contains the fi'l amr, the verb of command, tubu. It's a command to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, showing that what? That this is an obligation. And again, showing the understanding of this great Imam, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Then Al-Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he goes on in his explanation, Al-Sharh. Qala al-mu'allifu rahimahullah, the author, he stated, referring to Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, Bab al-Tawbah, the chapter of repentance, chapter number 2. And he defined, he said, At-Tawbatu lughatan, Tawbah in the Arabic language. You find many times the scholars, they do this. Why? They mention the definition of a word in the Arabic language, lugha. When they say lugha, they're not referring to English, it's Arabic. So sometimes if you read the English translation, you may be a bit confused as to why. But they mention the Arabic definition and the religious definition to show you that there is a correlation between the two. Normally, there is some type of connection between the two. And here you'll see, alhamdulillah, sayattadihu lana jami'an, it will become clear, the connection between the definition in the language and the definition in the sharia. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, At-tawbatu lughatan, in the Arabic language, min taba yatubu idha raja'a. The definition of tawbah, this word tawbah in the Arabic language, it comes from taba yatubu. It comes from taba yatubu, and this means to return from something. And obviously you can understand that, because the person that sins and he's repenting, what's he returning from? He's returning from sin. And then the Shaykh, he mentions, وَشَرْعًا, in the religion of Islam, the meaning of a tawbah, الرُّجُوع مِن مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَى طَاعَتِهِ. In the Islamic legislation, the religion of Islam, the definition of a tawbah, repentance, is to return from the disobedience of Allah, the Most High, to His obedience. And now he goes on to mention the levels of tawbah, and he said, وَأَعْظَمُهَا وَأَوْجَبُهَا, the most important, the greatest type of repentance, and the most necessary type of repentance is what? أَتَوْبَةُ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ, to repent from disbelief to faith. And he's going to mention three levels. He's going to mention three levels. The first, وَأَعْظَمُهَا وَأَوْجَبُهَا أَتَوْبَةُ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ, to repent from disbelief to faith. قال الله تعالى قُلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. And say to those who have disbelieved, if they cease from their disbelief, their past will be forgiven. If they cease from their disbelief, their past, they will be forgiven. So the greatest type of repentance and the most necessary type of repentance is a tawbah min al-kufr ila al-iman, to repent from disbelief and to accept and embrace faith. Why? Because if a person dies upon al-kufr, major disbelief, wal-iyadu billah, we know that that individual is going to the hellfire forever. ثم يليها التوبة من الكبائر. Then after that, as the ulama, they mention, you have a tawbah, repentance from the major sins, because the major sins require repentance. مجتنبت الكبائر, as long as the major sins are abandoned. So the major sins, the scholars, they derive from verses in the Quran, a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that likewise the major sins, they require what? Tawbah. The third, ثم المرتبة الثالثة, the third level, التوبة من صغائر الذنوب, repentance from the minor sins. So what are the three? متوكل. لا متوكل. Give me the first. نعم, from كفر to إيمان. تفضل أخي, the second. From the major sins. تفضل يا خانة. نعم, to repent from the minor sins. He said, والواجب على المرء, الشيخ ابن عثيمين, أن يتوب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى من كل ذنب. He said, that which is obligatory upon each and every individual, male and female, is to repent to Allah from every sin. وللتوبة شروط ثلاثة. The author, الإمام النووي رحمه الله, كما قال المؤلف, he mentioned that repentance has three conditions. ولكنها بالتتبع تبلغ إلى خمسة. However, after close analysis of the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, it is found that actually the conditions of a tawbah, they reach five. There are five conditions. So Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, وللتوبة شروط ثلاثة. Repentance has three conditions mentioned by An-Nawwi. ولكنها بالتتبع. After close analysis of the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, it is found that there are actually five. الشرط الأول, the first. And alhamdulillah, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen gives us a nice explanation of these conditions. May Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us to benefit from it. He said, الشرط الأول, the first condition, الإخلاص لله, sincerity to Allah, the mighty and majestic. بأن يكون قصد الإنسان بتوبته وجه الله. And this is that the person intends with his repentance the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first condition is sincerity to Allah. Did I know we mentioned that? No. Naam, that's one that the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen has added. The first, al-ikhlas lillah. Sincerity to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he said the meaning of this, bi an yakuna qasd al-insan bi tawbatihi وجه الله عز وجل. Is that the person intends with his repentance the face of Allah, the mighty and majestic. وَأَنْ يَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَيَتَجَاوَزَ عَمَّا فَعَلَ مِنَ الْمَعْسِيَةِ. And for Allah to accept his repentance and pardon him for committing this act of disobedience. And to pardon him for committing this act of disobedience. لا يقصد بذلك مراءة الناس والتقرب إليهم. He should not intend with this to show off in front of the people. والعياذ بالله. Nor should he intend to draw closer to them through this. ولا يقصد بذلك. He said, and likewise, the individual should not intend by this to repel from himself the harm of the authorities and the Muslim ruler. So the first, al-ikhlas lillah, that you do it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know, brothers and sisters, that from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? At-tawwab. The name of Allah azza wa jalla, at-tawwab, the scholars, they mention, it has two meanings. Does anyone know the two meanings? Does anyone know the two meanings of the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, at-tawwab? Somebody had their hand up? No, the name, what does it mean? The name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Tawwab. Naam, it's translated many times, the one who accepts repentance. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا. Those who repent, they rectify their wrongdoing, and they clarify, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. These individuals, I will accept their repentance. وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. And I am the one who accepts repentance, the most merciful. But Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, he mentions that the name of Allah, Tawwab, it carries two meanings. From them, the first, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, he grants the servant tawfiq to make tawbah. If the individual repents, the tawfiq, it comes from Allah. Who granted you success to repent? It came from Allah Azza wa Jalla, wahdu, nobody else. How many individuals they go along in their life, naam, and they rarely repent? However, the person that repents to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, naam, that is tawfiq from Allah Azza wa Jal. So from the meanings of a tawwab, Allah grants the servant success to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. And after he's repented, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who accepts the repentance of the servant that repents with the correct repentance. And that highlights to us the importance of knowing the names and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. The importance of knowing the names and the attributes of Allah. Because the individual that knows the names of Allah and understands them the way that they should be understood, it makes it easier for him to actualize servitude, al-ubudiyyah, to Allah Azza wa Jalla alone without any partners. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, الشرط الثاني, the second condition, الندم على ما فعل من المعصية, regret and remorse for committing the acts of disobedience, regret and remorse for committing the sin. And Al-Hasan Al-Basri, he mentioned that this is from the meaning of at-tawbah an-nasuh. Sincere repentance, part of that is that you show remorse. That every time that you think about that act of disobedience, you're disgusted and you feel sorry. And the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, لأن شعور الإنسان بالندم هو الذي يدل على أنه صادق في التوبة بمعنى أنه بمعنى أن يتحسر على ما سبق منه وينكسر من أجله. Because a person feeling remorse shows that he is truthful. If somebody is happy about what they've done from evil, are they really repentant? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said what? He said that remorse, sorrow, regret is repentance. So Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, a person feeling remorse shows that he is truthful in his repentance, meaning that he is saddened at what transpired from him. He's saddened that he committed the act of disobedience. And he is perturbed by this. وَلَا يَرَى أَنَّهُ فِي حِلٍّ مِنْهُ إِلَّا حتى يتوب منه إلى الله عز وجل. And he does not see any solution for him except to repent to Allah عز وجل. He doesn't see a solution except that he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a sign, brothers and sisters, of the healthy heart, al-qalb al-salim. The healthy heart, no doubt. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned, ثَلَاثُ مَنْ كُنَّ فِي وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَوَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. Three qualities, whoever possesses them, tastes with that the sweetness of faith. But, as the scholars, they mention from them, Ibn Rajab, in order to taste the sweetness of faith, na'am, the qalb, it can taste. It's not the taste with the tongue. The heart, it could taste the sweetness of iman. But that's the healthy heart, the sound heart. It's like if the body is sick, if one of us had a cold, if we had the flu, and we were to eat, we could eat the most delicious meal. Somebody could cook for us the most delicious gourmet meal. We're not going to taste it. There's no difference between that and just regular food or even maybe something that we dislike. That's like the sick heart. The healthy heart, no doubt, with acts of disobedience, is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be uneasy. It's not going to be content. So Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said here, وَلَا يَرَى أَنَّهُ فِي حِلْمٍ مِّنْهُ. The person believes that there's no solution except for him to repent and to turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. So that was the second. The Shaykh, he said, الشَّرْطَ الثَّالِثِ, the third, أَنْ يُقْلِ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ الَّذِي هُوَ فِيهِ. To renounce and abandon the sin he was committing. And the Shaykh gives some beautiful examples. To renounce and abandon the sin that the person was committing. وَهَذَا مِنْ أَهَمِّ شُرُوطِهِ. And that's from the most important of the conditions of repentance. وَالْإِقْلَاعَ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ. إِنْ كَانَ الذَّنْبُ تَرْكَ وَاجِبٍ فَالْإِقْلَاعَ عَنْهُ بِفِعْلِهِ. The Shaykh, he goes on to define and give examples. He said, to abandon the sin, if the sin was that the individual abandoned an obligation. So, the individual, he abandoned an obligation. Something that was wajib upon him. Now, how does he renounce that? The Shaykh said, al-iqla' is to perform it. So, na'am, he's going to give examples, so try and follow. If, wal-iqla' ani dhamb, in kana dhambu tarka wajibin, فالإقلاع عنه بفعله مثل أن يكون شخص لا يزكي. He gives an example to make it clearer. So we repeat that once more. If the sin was that the individual abandoned an obligation, then renouncing it is that he actually fulfills the obligation itself. That's how you renounce that. That's how you abandon that disobedience. So he gives an example. A person, he doesn't give zakah. And brothers and sisters, zakat is from the pillars of Al-Islam. Sometimes, because we're living in non-Muslim lands, person doesn't think about zakat al-mal, the money that is due from his wealth. If a person does not pay, if there is zakat upon him because of his wealth, and he does not pay it, he's not purifying his wealth. And he's exposing himself to the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh said an example, مثل أن يكون شخص لا يزكي. A person has to give zakat. He doesn't give it. So here, what's he not fulfilling? No, an obligation. No doubt, it's a pillar of Islam, but he's not fulfilling an obligation. So again, how does كيف يقلع عن ذلك الذنب? How does he renounce that sin? The Shaykh said, فأراد أن يتوب إلى الله. This person, he never paid zakat. He wants to repent to Allah. What does he do? فلا بد من أن يخرج الزكاة التي مضت ولم يؤديها. It is a must now that he pays zakat that was past due, that he didn't pay in the past. Now he has to pay it. It is a must that for this individual to pay zakat that was past due and he failed to pay it. And he gives another example. إذا كان الإنسان مقصرا في بر الوالدين. If a person is negligent in respecting, is falls short in respecting his parents. He doesn't fulfill the obligation of respecting the parents. How many times in the Quran do we find Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions respect of the parents after a tawheed? Highlighting what? The greatest of all rights is a tawheed. The right of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then from the rights of the creation, the greatest right of the creation from those amongst us is the rights of your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And that you respect your parents. So if somebody was not fulfilling the obligation of respecting the parents, it's an obligation. And many times the scholars, they mention that is a mizan. You look how somebody interacts with their parents to see how they're going to interact with everyone else. Because how a person يتعامل مع والديه, how he deals with his parents, it is a mizan, it is a scale that you can use to judge and to see how he's going to deal with everyone else. Like salah, prayer is a mizan, is a scale to see how an individual is going to behave with the other obligations of the religion. So an individual, the Shaykh, he said, وَإِذَا كَانَ الْإِنسَانِ مُقَصِّرًا فِي بِرِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, meaning he's not fulfilling مُقَصِّرًا فِي الْوَاجِبِ, هذا قصد الشيخ, he's falling short in the obligation of this, respecting the parents. And he wants to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal from this. فَإِنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَقُومْ بِبِرِّهِمَا, it is obligatory upon him that now he respects them. إِقْلَاعُ, to renounce that sin, involves him fulfilling the obligation. Al-Iqla' involves him now fulfilling the obligation. He has to respect his parents. وَإِذَا كَانَ مُقَصِّرًا فِي صِلَةِ الرَّحِمِ فَإِنُهُ يَجِبْ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَصِلَ الرَّحِمِ, if the person falls short in the obligation of keeping family ties, and he wants to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, then he has to fulfill the obligation. That is al-Iqla' that is refraining and renouncing that disobedience. So now he has to keep family ties. وَإِنْ كَانَتِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ, now the Shaykh, he goes on to mention the second type. وَإِنْ كَانَتِ الْمَعْصِيَةُ بِفِعْلٍ مُحَرَّمٍ, if the disobedience involves committing a forbidden act. The first type was what? Who can tell me? Tfaddal. لا, not you. Tfaddal. Tfaddal. If the disobedience was what? Naam. The disobedience, the first example the Shaykh, he mentioned, was the person leaving an obligation. The second now, if the disobedience involves committing a forbidden act. وَإِنْ كَانَتِ الْمَعْصِيَةُ بِفِعْلِ مُحَرَّمٍ, try and follow inshallah. If you don't follow, just ask. I'll repeat it. فَالْوَاجِمْ أَنْ يُقْلِعْ عَنْهُ فَوْرًا, then it is compulsory to abandon that sin immediately and to not delay. وَلَا يَبْقَى فِيهِ وَلَا لَحْظَةً, do not delay and do not hesitate. You abandon it immediately. You don't say, you know, give me time. You hear that from people. Oh, just give me some time. Just give me some time. And also, brothers and sisters, another thing with regards to a tawbah, shaitan, he comes to an individual, he says, you know, do this sin, and later you will be righteous. Naam, do this sin, you can do it. Naam, don't worry about it, it's not major. But later on, you will be righteous. Who can give us an example of that from the Quran? What did they say? Yeah, but what did they say? Who can... Tfaddal. No, it wasn't. Don't kill him. This idea. Do the sin, and I'll repent later. Firstly, ma yudrik, how do you know that you're going to be living later on to repent? How do you know you're going to live long enough to repent? How many people, and the ulama, they mention one of the reasons that prevents yahul bayn al-rajul wa tawba is having unrealistic expectations that you think you're going to live forever. The one who thinks he's going to live forever, that is a hajiz, it may hinder him from repenting to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim, what does he advise in his book Kitab al-Ruh? He advises, and I mentioned this in some lessons where we were studying Sharh al-Sunnah of al-Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah. Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, before a person goes to sleep every night, they should bring themselves to account for the actions of the day. Every night, before you sleep, don't go to sleep until you think about your day. And you think about the actions of that day. Have you fulfilled your obligations? Have you stayed away from the prohibitions? How did you interact? How did you deal with people in that day? If you find that you are falling into that which is haram, or you fail to fulfill an obligation, that you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that night. Why? Because if you go to sleep, you may not wake up. فَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتُمْ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرُ الصَّبَحِ, when you go to sleep at night, don't expect to wake up in the morning. Don't think you're going to wake up. We may never wake up. And unfortunately, people walk around like they're going to live forever. They are negligent. يتهاونون, as it pertains to the rights that are solely for Allah Azza wa Jal. You have individuals, some of them, they go around, they're mutahawinun, they are negligent when it pertains to the rights of the creation. Like they're never going to be brought to account and they're going to live forever. Now, brothers and sisters, this idea, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran with the brothers of Yusuf when they said, uqtulu Yusuf, kill Yusuf, or itrahuhu, oh, throw him into the ditch. Kill him or throw him into the ditch. Why? What was their mentality? Naam, lakin ash-shahid min al-ayah. Ma huwa? Naam, ahsant. La, wa takunu min ba'di qawman salihin. So that afterwards, you can be a righteous people. Afterwards, wa takunu, after you've committed this act of disobedience, then you can be righteous. What? So commit the sin, shaitan, commit the sin and don't worry, inshallah, you're going to repent later. How do you know you're going to repent? How do you know? Death may become, and that's going to be from the conditions, from the shurut of a tawbah, that you repent in a time when tawbah is accepted. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen is going to mention, with regards to time, there is time that is specific to the individual, meaning before his death, and in the general sense that is applicable to everyone, that a person repents before a time when repentance is no longer accepted. Somebody may die and never have the opportunity to repent. So this idea, وَتَكُونُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ, and after that you're going to be a righteous people, get it out of your heads. Let's remove that from our heads. If we repent, like the Sheikh mentioned, let's repent immediately, do not hesitate or delay. Then the Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, فَإِذَا كَانَتْ مِنْ أَكْلِ الرِّبَى مَثَلًا, if a person, if the disobedience involves eating and consuming interest, if the disobedience it involves eating and consuming interest, فَالْوَاجِبْ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّسْ مِنَ الرِّبَى فَوْرًا, then it is obligatory upon them to free themselves from this interest immediately by abandoning it, بِتَرْكِهِ وَالْبُعْدْ عَنْهُ, and distancing oneself from it, and relinquishing, وَإِخْرَاجِ مَكْتَسَبَهُ عَنْ تَرِيقِ الرِّبَى, and relinquishing oneself from that which he acquired by way of this interest. So that is al-iqla. وَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْمَعَصِيَةُ بِالْغِشْ, if the disobedience it involved, you deceive somebody, you cheated somebody. مَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, whoever cheats us, they're not from us. Naam, the brother, he mentioned, anyone who's parked in front of the building, they're going to get a ticket. Naam. So the Shaykh, he said, وَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْمَعَصِيَةُ بِالْغِشْ وَالْكَذِبْ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَخِيَانَةَ الْأَمَانَةِ, if the disobedience, it involves cheating, lying to the people, and being يعني, deceitful as it pertains to the trust, then it is obligatory to refrain from this and abandon it, all of it. And he gives other examples. فالواجب عليه أن يرده إلى صاحبه أو يستحله منه. Then the Shaykh goes on, وَإِذَا كَانَتْ غِيبًا, if it's backbiting. If a person backbites another, he said, فَالْوَاجِبَ أَنْ يُقْلِعْ أَنْ غِيبَةِ النَّاسِ وَتَكَلَّمْ فِي أَعْرَاضِهِمْ, that which is obligatory is to abandon backbiting the people and speaking about their honors. And unfortunately, this is a calamity of this time, except for those whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has mercy upon, even as it pertains to the scholars, even as it pertains to the carriers of knowledge, where people, they speak to with regards to the a'rad, the honors of the scholars. And as we know that the luhum al-ulama, the flesh of the scholars, is poisonous. The Shaykh, he said, أَمَّا أَنْ يَقُولُ, so the individual, he has to abandon the sin immediately. He can't pretend he's backbiting somebody and he says, yes, you know, I'm going to repent, but he's still backbiting the individual, he's still slandering the individual, he's still talking about their honor. He said, أَمَّا أَنْ يَقُولُ إِنَّهُ تَائِبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُصِرَّ عَلَى تَرْكِ الْوَاجِبِ أو مسرا على فعل المحرم فإن هذه التوبة غير مقبولة بل إن هذه توبتك لاستهزاء بالله عز وجل كيف تتوب إلى الله عز وجل وأنت مسرا على معصيتي. The Shaykh, he said, how can an individual, as for somebody saying I'm repenting to Allah, but they continue to abandon the obligation, or they continue to commit that forbidden act, then verily this repentance is not accepted. Allah will not accept that. Rather, this type of repentance, it is similar to mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This type of repentance involves, it is similar to mocking Allah azza wa jal. He said, how can you repent to Allah, the mighty and majestic, and you're persistent, and you continue to disobey Him? That's a joke. You're playing games. Then the Shaykh, he said, وَلَوْ أَنَّكَ تُعَامِلُ بَشَرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ تَقُولْ أَنَا تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا نَادِمْ لَا أَعُودْ ثُمَّ فِي نِيَّتِكَ وَفِي قَلْبِكَ أَنَّكَ سَتَعُودْ وَعُدْتَ فَإِنَّ هَذِي. The Shaykh, he said, as for example, if you were to deal with a man from among the people, and you say to him, I ask you to excuse me, you know, I ask you to pardon me, and I'm regretful, and I will not return to this act that you dislike, but your intention in your heart is to return, and you return, then no doubt this would be considered to be ridiculing this man. You're ridiculing him. You're mocking him. Then the Shaykh, he said, فَكَيْفَ بِاللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So what if this is done with Allah, the mighty and majestic? May Allah protect us all from that. فَالْإِنسَانَ التَّائِبْ حَقِيقَةً هُوَ الَّذِي يُقْلِ عَنِ الذَّمِ. So the person that is truly repentant, he is the one who renounces and abandons that sin. He said, وَمِنَ الْغَرِيبِ. He said, it's strange. أَنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ تَجْلِسْ إِلَيْهِ. Some people, you sit with them. وَتَجِدُهُ يَتَأَوَّهُ مِنْ وَجُودِ الرِّبَى. You find that they moan and they complain about the presence of interest. وَهُوَ فِي نَفْسِهِ يُرَابِي وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. In his own self, you know, you find that this individual is involved in riba, interest transactions. أَوْ يَتَأَوَّهُ مِنَ الْغِيبَةِ وَأَكْلِ لُحُومِ النَّاسِ. So you find this person, he's moaning, he complains about people backbiting and eating the flesh of the people. وَهُوَ مِنْ أَكْثَرِ النَّاسِ غِيبَةً نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. But he's from the most of the people in backbiting. Wallahi, that's a tamat. That's an amazing calamity. Somebody sitting there, oh, it's a shame what the people they do. Oh, it's crazy what the people they do. But here you find that this type of person, he is at the foremost of them in backbiting and eating the flesh of the people. And I give advice to myself and all of the brothers and the sisters. In our time, there's another zahira. People, alhamdulillah, no doubt, every person of sunnah, every person that loves Ahlul Sunnah, they want, no doubt, they don't want to see any disunity, they don't want to see any problems, because min usuli da'wati ahli sunnah is what al-ijtima' al-haq, is for people to unite upon the truth. People to unite upon the truth. Yadullahi ma'al jama'ah, the hand of Allah azza wa jalla is with the jama'ah. But as to come now and pretend, and you translate an article about beautiful nasa'ih from the ulama, about unity and being together, but you're one of the ones pouring the fuel on the fire of fitna, instigating it, spreading it all over the world, do you think that's going to stop the problem? I'm asking the brothers. Is that going to solve it? Is that going to stop the disunity? That you put out articles with, you know, titles accusing people of various things? That's playing games. How can people mention ayat, mention ahadith, after that mention the words of the scholars, and then fall into exactly what we're trying to set out to stop? When the ulama, they advise, and this is advice to myself and everyone else, brothers and sisters, and Sheikh Mubil used to advise with it all the time, if you go back and you read his nasihati li ahli sunnah, my advice to the people of the sunnah, if we want an nabta'id min asbab al-ikhtilafi wal-fitan, from the causes that lead to differing and tribulation, علينا جميعا, it's upon us, أن نشتغل بالعلم, that we busy ourselves with knowledge. If a person is busy with knowledge, he doesn't have time for anything else. Learning the Quran, learning to read the Quran, learning the Arabic language, learning the Aqidah Sahiha, learning the religion of Allah. Imagine somebody that's his whole day making muraja'ah, revising, learning, speaking about knowledge. How many of us in this time are like that? I'm asking myself, it's a question to me and everybody else. How many of us, when we sit down with our brothers, that our sittings are sittings of ilm? Akhi, you know this benefit? Do you know, يعني تذكر هذه الفائدة من هذه الآية? أخي يعني سمعت هذا القول من الشيخ فلان يشرح هذا الحديث? Do you know, إيش أعرب هذه الجملة? Give me the إعراب of this جملة. Look at this آية. What's the إعراب of this آية? Are our جلسات like this? Or are many of the جلسات in this time sittings? قيل, قال, he said, she said, this one's this, this one's that, this one is this. And you're saying, أخي, there's so much fitna. أخي, you're a cause of it. You're pouring fuel on it. Brothers and sisters, it's upon us that, alhamdulillah, that we all fear Allah Azza wa Jalla as it pertains to this da'wah. Not just feigning it, but in reality. And we all busy ourselves with knowledge, and at the same time, in husn al-Islam al-mar'i tarku ma la ya'nihi, from the perfection of a person's Islam is he leaves that which doesn't concern him. Can you solve all the problems of the ummah? Can I? No. Alhamdulillah, I'm responsible for what I can do. If people, for example, if an individual, if you're not part of the problem, that's one less person that's part of the problem. If we all had that mentality, alhamdulillah, I'm sure things would be a lot smoother. Do you agree with that? Alhamdulillah. So the Shaykh, he said, أو يتأوه من الكذب والدياء على أمانة في الناس وهو من أكذب الناس. The individual, you find them, he said, it's amazing or strange that you find them, they're moaning about lying and, you know, not fulfilling the trust of the people. And you find that he's the most lying of the people and the one who is the most treacherous in terms of breaking the trust. He said, وَعَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ, and whatever the case may be, فَالْإِنسَانِ لَا بُدَّ أَنْ يُقْلِ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ, it is a must that a person refrains and abandons that sin, الَّذِي تَابَ مِنْهُ, that he's repented from. فَإِنْ لَمْ يُقْلِعْ فَتَوْبَتُهُ مَرْدُودَ لَا تَنْفَعُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, as if he does not abandon that sin, then his repentance is rejected and it will not benefit him with Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the Shaykh, he goes on even further. And you can see, alhamdulillah, ikhwan, there's a lot of detailed information for all of us. Because alhamdulillah, all of us, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءٍ وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, all of the sons of Adam, they will err, and the best of those who err, make mistakes, are those who repent. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to slip. The best of those who make mistakes, those who err, those who sin, are those who repent Allah Azza wa Jal. So we all need to repent. So knowing how to repent, مَا لَا يَتِمَّ الْوَاجِبِ إِلَّا بِهِ فَوَاجِبِ, that which you need to fulfill an obligation is an obligation itself. This knowledge is a necessity for us, to know how to repent correctly. It's not something that is, you know, not important or frivolous. The Shaykh, he said now, giving another, he said, رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, وَالْإِقْلَاعَ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ إِمَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ إِقْلَاعًا عَنْ ذَنْبٍ يَتَعَلَّكُ فِي حَقِّ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, renouncing and abandoning the sin. If this is abandonment of a sin that relates to the right of Allah, فَهَذَا يَكْفِي أَن تَتُوبَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّكَ, then it is sufficient to repent between you and your Lord. Alhamdulillah, Islam is jameel. Look, even in tawbah, we see tawheed. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, tawbah, you find the maqamat of the religion, all of them in a tawbah. Islam, iman and ihsan, all of them in a tawbah. Why? Because at tawbah you see the beauty of al-Islam. Tawbah, Islam, repentance is easy. If you want to repent and it's between, the sin is between you and your Lord, go and repent between you and your Lord. You don't need a priest. You know, in other religions, they give you a paper, you go to them, tadfa' mal, and you give them money, tell him, ana yani waqa'at fi dhanbi kadha, I fell into this particular sin. He gives you a paper that the priest or whatever he is, يُوَقِّ عَلَى الْوَرَقِ, he gives you a paper, he signs it, you give him some money. He said, you've repented. What repentance is that? So if you're a rich man, you don't have any problems. You could do as you please. In reality, like this alim, he told the man who killed 99 people, مَنْ يَحُولُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ التَّوْبَةِ, who can come between you and repentance? Islam is a religion that is easy. It's a religion of tawheed. Naam, Allah is a tawwab, ar-raheem, the one who accepts repentance, the most merciful. You want to repent? Wait, you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal alone without any partners. You don't have to go and confess your sins. And that's, inshallah, the Shaykh will explain and even elaborate upon that. The issue of people exposing their sins. Isha'at al-fahisha. Inna alladhina yuhibbuna an tashi'a al-fahisha fi alladhina amanu. Lahum adhabun aleem fi al-dunya wal-akhira. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Those who love that evil is spread about the believers. Wickedness. For them in this life is a severe torment. And in the hereafter there is a severe torment, punishment. Allah knows and you do not know. Look at that. That's the one who loved. هَذَا الَّذِي يُحِبُّهُ فَمَا بَالُكَ بِمَنْ يُشِيعُهُ, that's about the one he loves for it to be spread. So he hears it, wickedness is spread about the believers. He's happy. Yes. I don't like him. I'm happy. Allah said for them is a torment in this life and the hereafter. That's the one who loves for it to be spread. What about the one he goes and he actually spreads it? What about the one he's the one, he goes on the computer and he spreads it? المؤمن ينصح ويستر. The believer, if he finds his brother in a fault and it's between the brother and Allah Azza wa Jalla, is something sirran, he advises and he conceals. المنافق يفضح. The hypocrite, he exposes and he doesn't like to conceal. That's من صفات المنافقين. The Salaf, they used to say, the believer, he advises and he conceals. So the Shaykh, he said, if the sin relates or pertains to the right of Allah, then it's sufficient for you to repent between yourself and Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا يَنْبَغِي بَلْ قَدْ نَقُولُ لَا يَجُوزُ أَنْ تُحَدِّثَ النَّاسِ بِمَا سَنَعْتَ مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمِ أَوْ تَرْكِ الْوَاجِبِ. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, it's sufficient for you that you repent between you and your Lord. He said, and it is not befitting. And he said, rather we may say, it is not allowed for you to tell the people what you have done from forbidden acts or the abandonment of an obligation. Don't go to people and tell them you've done haram, kada, I've done this, kada. And sometimes this happens with the imams of the masajid. People, they come and they say, akhi, you know, I've done such and such, min al-muharramat. Don't go to the person and expose your sins. If you have to ask a question that is muhim for you, you know, mention it, you know, with a third party. بصفة الغائب. Don't expose yourself. إيش الفائدة? What's the benefit? You go into the brother and you expose your sin. And we're going to read the reason why. الشيخ ابن عثيمين يسأل رحمه الله لأن هذا بينك وبين الله فإذا كان الله قد من عليك بالستر وسترك عن العباد فلا تحدث أحدا بما صنعت إذا تبت إلى الله. He said, if Allah blessed you, firstly because this is between you and Allah, Allah blessed you by concealing and hiding your sin. And if Allah has concealed this from the servants, do not tell anyone about it. What you have done, if you repented to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, kullu ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahirin. And the hadith is in Bukhari, all of my ummah will be forgiven except for those who expose their sins. Unfortunately, brothers, we're in a dangerous time. The internet, social media, people, yafdahu, anfusahum, they expose themselves day and night. They show themselves on the internet day and night, exposing their sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, all of my nation will be forgiven except for those who expose their sins. وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كُلُّ أُمَّةِ مُعَافَ إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرِينَ وَمِنَ الْمُجَاهَرَ كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. And openly exposing one's sins, as comes in the hadith itself, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, أَنْ يَعْمَلَ الرَّجُلُ بِاللَّيْلِ عَمَلًا, that a person, he does evil in the night, ثم يصبح وقد ستره الله, and he wakes up in the morning, but Allah has concealed his sin. فيقول, but this person, he says, يَا فُلَان, oh so-and-so, عَمِلْتُ الْبَارِحَةَ كَذَا وَكَذَا, yesterday I done such and such. Yesterday I done such and such. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَقَدْ بَاتَ يَسْتُرُهُ رَبُّهُ وَيُصْبِحْ يَكْشِفُ سِتْرَ اللَّهِ عَنْ. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. This individual, he spent the night, Allah Azza wa Jal, he screened him, he concealed his faults and his sins. No one was knowing of his sins. And in the morning he removes the screen of Allah from himself. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah Azza wa Jal, this man, he spent the night, Allah, he covered his sins. In the morning, this man, he removed the screen of Allah Azza wa Jal from himself. Brothers and sisters, there's another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, as narrated by Ibn Umar, and likewise this is in Al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يَدْنُ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِ, and inshallah we'll go to the shahid, فَيَقُولُ عَمِلْتَ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَيَقُولُ نَعَمْ وَيَقُولُ عَمِلْتَ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَيَقُولُ نَعَمْ فَيُقَرِّرُهُ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ إِنِّي سَتَرْتُ عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to an individual, did you commit such and such a sin? The person, he will say, yes. So Allah azza wa jal will make this individual affirm the sins that he committed. And Allah azza wa jal will say to him, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ إِنِّي سَتَرْتُ عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا, I concealed your sins in this worldly life. in the worldly life. فَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمَ And today I will forgive you for them, subhanAllah. So do you want to remove that screen of Allah Azza wa Jal? That Allah Azza wa Jal has concealed your shortcomings and your sins? When on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will say to the servant, إِنِّي سَتَرْتُ عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا I concealed your sins in the dunya, and today فَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ لَكَ الْيَوْمَ I'm going to forgive you today. Now understand that hadith in the light of the hadith, the previous hadith, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي مُعَافَ إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرِينَ All of my ummah will be forgiven except those who openly expose their sins. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, إِلَّا أَنَّ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ قَالْ Except some of the scholars, they mention, إِذَا فَعَلَ الْإِنسَانُ ذَنْبًا فِيهِ حَدْ Some of the scholars have stated that if a person commits a sin that involves a prescribed punishment, فَإِنُّهُ لَا بَأْسَ أَنْ يَذْهَبْ إِلَى الْإِمَامِ الذي يقيم الحدود مثل الأمير ويقول إنه فعل الذنب الفلاني ويريد أن يطهره منه ومع ذلك فالأفضل أن يستره على نفسه هذا هو الأفضل. The scholars they mention an exception, and brothers and sisters, this exception does not apply to Muslims living in non-Muslim lands because we don't have a Muslim leader here. There's no hudud in these non-Muslim lands. The prescribed punishments is established by the Muslim leader or those that the Muslim leader appoints. Naam, some of the scholars, they've mentioned an exception. And this is if a person commits a sin that involves a prescribed punishment, a had. Then there is nothing wrong if he goes to the imam, the Muslim ruler, who establishes these prescribed punishments, like the leader, and he says, I done such and such a sin, and he wants the leader to purify him of this, then there's nothing wrong with that. But my question, is the imam the Muslim leader in this country? He's not the Muslim leader. Al-Imam la yumkin an yuqim al-had. He cannot establish the hudud. He's the imam of the masjid, not the Muslim leader. The Sheikh said, even with that, it is better for a person to conceal their sins. That is better. Then he goes on to say, he said, the reason for this, لأن الحد كفارة للذنب. Because the prescribed punishment is an expiation for the sin. أما المعاصي الأخرى فاسترها على نفسك كما ستره الله عز وجل وكذلك الزنا وما يشبه استره على نفسك بالنسبة لغير ولي الأمر لا تفضح نفسك ما دمت أنك قد تبت فيما بينك وبين الله فإن الله تعالى يقبل التوبة عن عبادي ويعفو عن السيئات. The Sheikh said, as for the other acts of disobedience, meaning acts of disobedience that do not involve had the prescribed punishment, hide them, conceal them. Don't expose yourself if Allah has concealed them for you. And he said, even fornication and that which is similar to it, conceal it, hide your sin. Don't expose yourself as it pertains to other than the Muslim ruler. And the Sheikh mentioned the tafsil kama sabak. Don't expose yourself as long as you've repented. As long as you've repented between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, then verily Allah accepts repentance from His servants and pardons them if they repent from these evil deeds. So that's if the sin is between who? The servant of Allah Azza wa Jal. أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ الذَّنْ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الْخَلْقِ If the sin is between you and the creation because you are transgressed against one of the creation, you did not fulfill what Allah Azza wa Jal has instructed you to do as it pertains to the creation. So what do you do now? مَاذَا نَفْعَلْ The Shaykh said, فَإِنْ كَانَ مَالًا فَلَابُدْ أَنْ تُؤَدِّيَهُ إِلَى صَاحِبِهِ If it's wealth, somebody, money has been stolen, you have to go back and give it to the person it was stolen from. You have to give it to the person. Somebody may ask, you know, and this comes up regular, if I give the money back, they're going to lock me up. No, inshallah, you can write it. We have envelopes. There's mail. There's so many ways that you could give back that money without it being known that it was you. The Shaykh, he said, part of repentance is what? If the sin was between you and the creation, if it was money or wealth, you have to return it back to the rightful owner. وَلَا تُقْبَلَ التَّوْبَةُ إِلَّا بِأَدَائِهِ And a repentance is not accepted unless this is returned. مِثْلُ أَن تَكُونَ قَدْ سَرَقْتَ مَالًا مِنْ شَخْصٍ If, for example, you stole money from a person, وَتُبْتَ مِنْ هَذَا And you repented from this. فَلَا بُدْ أَن تُوْسِلَ الْمَسْرُوقِ إِلَى الْمَسْرُوقِ مِنْ You have to return what was stolen to the person it was stolen from. You have to give it back. You have to give it back. He gives another example. He He said, "Oh, jahadta haqqan li shakhs." You denied the right that somebody has upon you. An example of that. Kan yakun fi dhimmatika dayn li insanin wa ankartahu thumma tubt. You owed somebody money. They came to you and then you denied it. You said, "I don't owe you money." How many times did this happen? People owe people money and they don't want to pay it back. Some people, they deny it. The Shaykh, he said, in this instance, فَلَا بُدْ أَن تَذَبْ إِلَى صَاحِبِ الدَّيْنِ الَّذِي أَنْكَرْتُ. You have to go to the person you borrowed the money from and the one who you denied the debt, owing the debt to, وَتُقِرَّ عِنْدُهُ وَتَعْتَرِفْ حَتَّى يَأْخُذُ حَقَّهُ. You admit that you took this loan from him and you acknowledge your error so that he can take his right from you. فَإِنْ كَانَ قَدْ مَاتْ. If he's dead, what does a person do? Huh? The Shaykh, he said, فَإِنْ كَانَ قَدْ مَاتْ نَعَمْ فَإِنَّكَ تُعْطِي وَرَثَتَهُ. If the person has died, فَإِنَّكَ تُعْطِيهِ وَرَثَتَهُ. You give his heirs. You give that money to his heirs. Still not an excuse. You had a debt for somebody, you never paid it back. You may have denied it at one point. Alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal manna alayka bit tawbah. Allah bless the individual to repent. It's upon you that you go and still you repay that debt. How do you repay it? Okay, the individual, he passed away, rahimahullah, you go to his heirs. You go to one of his heirs and you give them that debt. Somebody may say again, okay, but I can't find any heirs. مَا أَسْتَطِيَ أَنْ أَجِدَ الْوَرَثَ. I can't find the heirs of this individual. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْهُمْ. If you do not know them, أَوْ غَابَ عَنْكَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ وَلَمْ تَعْرِفْ لَهُمْ مَكَانَ. If you do not know the heirs, or this person is absent from you, you don't know where he is, you can't locate him, what do you do then? Still you don't, say, okay, I can't find him, I'm just going to keep this money in my pocket. He said, فَتَصَدَّقْ بِهِ عَنْهُ. You give sadaqah on his behalf with this money. Allahu Akbar. Look at the beauty of the religion of Islam. Still you have to get rid of that right. Because yawm al-qiyamah, all rights will be settled. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from that. فَتَصَدَّقْ بِهِ تَخَلُّسًا مِّنْهُ وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَعْلَمُهُ وَيُعْطِيهِ إِيَّاهُ. The third condition that the Shaykh he mentions. أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَتِ الْمَعْسِيَةِ. I was in two minds to read this, ikhwan, because يَحْتَاجِ لَسْشَيْءٍ مِنَ التَّفْصِيلِ. Because people, may take it the wrong way. I'll mention it, inshallah, but let's use the knowledge that we have, inshallah. And if there's any misunderstanding, ask. The Shaykh said, أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَتِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَهَا مَعَ الْبَشَرِ ضَرْبًا أَوْ مَا أَشْبَهُ. If the act of disobedience that you have committed is against the creation, it involved that you hit them or the like. فَاذْهَبْ إِلَيْهِ وَمَكِّنْهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَضْرِبَكْ. Then you go to them and you allow them to hit you. Important condition. We're not in a Muslim country. Remember that if you hit people, there's going to be consequences of that action. And no doubt, even in all of this, you look at ماذا سيترتب عن هذا العمل. What's going to result from that? So when we hear this, remember, we're not living in the land of the Muslims. So don't let anyone, misconstrue these words and go about acting crazy and say, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said. There's a context to these words. The Sheikh said a person, he goes to that person and he allows them to hit him. Just like the way that he wronged that person and he hit him. فَإِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الظَّهَرْ فَعَلَى الظَّهَرْ. If he hits him on the back, then he lets that person hit him on the back and the like. Inshallah, we'll finish on this last point, Ikhwan, which is the tafsil of al-ghiba. And then inshallah, maybe tomorrow we can go on to finish the rest of the shurut. الشرط الرابع والخامس, the fourth condition and the fifth condition. الرابع أن يكون الحق غيبة. If the right is connected to backbiting. So a person, he wants to repent. الرجل يريد أن يتوب. لكن هذا, this, the right, it is related and connected to الغيبة. أن يكون الحق غيبة. يعني أنك تكلمت به. You spoke about this individual in his absence. وقدحت فيه عند الناس. In front of the people. وهو غائب. And he was absent. What do you do? فهذا اختلف فيها العلماء. The scholars, they differ concerning this. What should be done in this instance? فمنهم من قال, some of them have said, لا بد أن تذهب إليه وتقول له يا فلان. Some of them say it is a must that you go to them. And this is what was mentioned by An-Nawawi رحمه الله. and you say, oh, so and so, inni takallamtu fika 'inda an-nas, I spoke about you in the presence of the people, fa arjuka an tasmaha 'anni, I hope that you will pardon me, wa tuhallilani, and that you will absolve me of any blame. So that's one opinion, the opinion mentioned by An-Nawawi in Riyad al-Salihin. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ, some of the scholars, they mention, لَا تَذْهَبْ إِلَيْهِ, don't go to that person. بَلْ فِيهِ تَفْصِيلٌ, rather there is a detailed explanation that needs to be given here. فَإِنْ كَانَ قَدْ عَلِمَ بِهَذِهِ الْغِيبَةَ فَلَا بُدْ أَنْ تَذْهَبَ إِلَيْهِ وَتَسْتَحِلُّهُ. If the person knows that you're backbiting him, nam, you go to him and you ask, you seek his pardon. However, وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ عَلِمَ فَلَا تَذْهَبْ إِلَيْهِ. Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, if he does not know, you don't go to him and tell him. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُ, ask Allah to forgive him. So what do you do? If he doesn't know, what do you do? The Shaykh, he says, ask Allah to forgive him. وَتُحَدِّثُ بِمَحَاسِنِهِ فِي الْمَجَالِسَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ تَغْتَابُهُ فِيهَا. And you mention his good qualities in the sittings where you used to backbite him. نعم, you don't, if the person doesn't know, he doesn't know that you backbit him, you don't go and tell him. Rather, you ask Allah to forgive him, and you mention his good qualities in the places where you've backbitten him. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ سَيِّئَاتِ, for verily good deeds, they wipe away evil deeds. And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, وَهَذَا الْقَوْلُ أَصَحْ, that position is the most correct. وَهُوَ أَنَّ الْغِيبَةَ إِذَا كَانَ صَاحِبُهَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ اِغْتَبْتَهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَكْفِي أَنْ تَذْكُرُهُ بِمَحَاسِنِهِ فِي الْمَجَالِسَ الَّتِي اِغْتَبْتَهُ فِيهَا وَأَنْ تَسْتَغْفِرَ لَهُ. If the person does not know that you have backbitten them, then it's sufficient that you mention him with his good qualities in the gatherings where you backbit him. And you ask Allah to forgive him. تقول, and you say, اللهم اغفر له. Oh Allah, forgive him. That's the way of the believers, ikhwan. That's the way of the believers. They ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive their brothers, to forgive their sisters. Then the Shaykh, he said, كما جاء في الحديث, there comes in the hadith, كفارة من اغتبته أن تستغفر له. The expiation for backbiting someone is to ask Allah to forgive them. However, this hadith, ضعفه الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله في السلسلة الضعيفة. الشيخ الألباني declared this hadith to be ضعيف in a سلسلة الضعيفة. فلابد في التوبة من أن تصل الحقوق إلى أهلها. It is a must when repenting to return the rights back to the people that deserve them. And with that, inshallah, we'll close. Why? Because our brother Mustafa is scheduled to speak, inshallah ta'ala. وجزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم. And tomorrow, inshallah, we'll finish the fourth condition and the fifth condition, and hopefully mention some of the fawa'id, some of the benefits as it pertains to those verses, those ayat that Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, and maybe take some of the ahadith as well. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.